Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. It is the day after Election Day in America, and the state of Michigan is still counting votes. Our state was predicted to be a focal point for this election, along with Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, and that prediction holds true. Later in the show, we're going to talk with some veteran political strategists about what just happened. But first, we'd better review the results as they stand. Right now, with 98% of votes counted in Michigan, Joe Biden leads Donald Trump on a margin that's close to 30,000 votes. That's a fairly narrow margin, but just a reminder that President Trump won Michigan by fewer than 11,000 votes 4 years ago. Yesterday, we ran into a voter in Grand Rapids who cast a ballot for the first time. Here's Daphne Joyner.
I'm not going to lie. At first, I didn't think that my vote would count, but after a while, I understood that it does count, so.
Every vote matters. Joining us now to talk about how the election is unfolding in Michigan is Michigan Radio's program director, Zoe Clark. Hey, Zoe.
Hey, April.
And we're also glad to welcome Stephen Henderson today. He's the project executive for Bridge Detroit and also host of Detroit Today on WDET. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, April. Hey, Zoe.
Hey, Stephen.
How are we doing? Is everybody awake after that long, long, long night last night? Go ahead, please.
I've been up since I went to bed at 3:30, and I got up at 5, so nice. I'm a little bleary-eyed still.
No one accepts it, you know, expects to sleep on an election, especially a historic election like this that we are still, let's be very clear, in the middle of.
Well, let's get to it. Donald Trump's campaign has, within the last hour, claimed to have filed a lawsuit in Michigan's Court of Claims calling for an end to the ballot count. Zoe, how do you like his chances of succeeding, if indeed this filing is for real?
Right. So first, let's say that that is a statement that the Trump campaign sent out, and they are saying that they have filed a lawsuit. However, before we went on air, there had not actually been a suit on the docket. So again, we will say that that's what the Trump campaign is saying they're doing, and what they're asking for basically is they want to stop the count that is happening right now that we knew was going to be happening for days, as Jocelyn Benson, our Secretary of State, told us over and over again that because of this historic election and because for the first time in Michigan history, we have no reason absentee balloting during a presidential campaign, that it was going to take days and days. And I think what's remarkable here is that it was sounding like it could take until Friday. I think Jocelyn Benson and her team were probably hedging their bets. Now it's looking like we could know the results by the end of today. So it will be interesting to see if and when a lawsuit actually is filed, how that actually corresponds with whether or not counting has been done by then.
Stephen Henderson, it seems like on this day in 2016, a thunderclap had gone off. Michigan was a close election for the first time in a while, and indeed went for a Republican. What are you seeing in yesterday's results? Do you see Michigan returning to swing state status?
Well, I mean, I think everyone would have said, even though we went blue for a really long time, that Michigan was always a swing state in the sense that it's a bellwether of some of the other states around us, and those states as a region tend to be predictive of the outcome, the overall outcome. I do think what we're seeing in Michigan this time that's different from last time is this incredible surge of voters. The record that's been set in Detroit, surpassing the 2008 turnout for Barack Obama, which none of us ever thought you'd see more votes cast than that. And the state as a whole as well. I mean, we're going to get up over 5 million votes here in the state of Michigan, which is incredible. I think that is the story. Now, whether that cuts for Republicans who are seeing more votes and more voters than they did before, maybe not as many as Democrats who it looks like are going to be able to pull it out because they did better with turnout this time, I don't know that we know, but I do think that that it's a huge it's a huge win for Democrats if they hold Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania this time, because they lost them last time, and it will be because of this surge of voters. I mean, it is like nothing anyone has seen. Janice Winfrey, the clerk here in Detroit, who's been around a long time, said she just couldn't ever have imagined the amount of voting that we experienced this time.
Zoe, I wanted to ask, Oakland County was a little bit late getting ballots tabulated. A number of key races were kind of hanging in the balance there. In the meantime, Donald Trump carried Macomb County, according to our latest results, but did not have a strong lead as he did in 2016. What surprises, other than this, are you seeing at the county level in Michigan?
Well, right. And April, we've often sort of talked about this, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that it was less than Donald Trump won Michigan in 2016 than Hillary Clinton lost Michigan in 2016. The same sort of pool of voters that had turned out to make Barack Obama a two-term president in Michigan just simply didn't turn out in 2016. And this is part of why we're trying to calculate where are the votes coming from. I think where we've got to watch is Kent County and what's happening in Grand Rapids. And of course, Wayne County, as we're talking about previously, and what's happening in the city of Detroit. You know, one of the things that Trump did in 16 in Michigan is rural areas really turned out for the president. And so we have to sort of see, you know, does Joe Biden, you know, lose less than Hillary Clinton did in those areas in 2016 to make up for the votes? And this is still what we're counting and really in the middle of this Democratic process right now.
Yeah. Stephen, I've seen some Democrats in my social feeds, white Democrats, talking about Detroit saving the country. What they're talking about is the absentee ballots from the metro area that were among the last to be counted and which appeared to have been breaking for Biden. Are you at all disturbed that there's this narrative developing around black voters and other people of color in Detroit riding to the rescue of a white electorate that does not coalesce around some sort of common American interest?
Yeah, I mean, it does give me a little pause and concern because of the racial discussion that I feel like we're in the middle of right now in this country, and the urgency of that conversation around not just police brutality, but systemic inequality in general. It's not unusual, by the way, for Democrats to win elections, especially at the national level, on the backs of strong turnout by African Americans. I mean, it is the core constituency still of the Democratic Party. At the same time, you know, African Americans, I think, as a group and most individuals that you talk to could list for days the ways in which Democratic politicians and Democratic policy have frustrated our ambitions and our desires to see inequality go away, to see to see our votes pay off, I guess, is maybe a crude way of putting it. You know, as we unpack this election, I expect that race is going to be very central to the conversation. The difference between urban voters and rural voters, which is code in some ways for black and white, is going to be talked about over and over. I think that divide is going to be as stark as it ever has been when we look at the final tally of votes. But the important thing going forward is that we maintain the urgency of this conversation about systemic inequality and make sure that the things that we're talking about changing or the potential for change doesn't get sapped now that the election is over. This wasn't just about a vote in November. This is about a change in America going forward.
You know, there's one more race we have to talk about, and that's the U.S. Senate race, in which incumbent Democrat Senator Gary Peters is just barely hanging on. In fact, excuse me, I'm sorry. It looks like with 97% of the vote in, that John James has something like a 16,000 vote advantage, which is pretty small. What does it say either Stephen or Zoe, if you can be brief, we can hear from both of you. What does it say that Joe Biden is on the upswing in Michigan and Gary Peters is not? Which voters are splitting the ticket?
Well, I can jump in really quick and say, yes, Michiganders have always been known as ticket splitters, and you can see that back and forth in races. I'm thinking, Stephen, as you'll well remember, in fact, when Gary Peters first, you know, went to the Senate, but we had a Republican governor in Rick Snyder when Gary Peters beat Terry Lynn Land. So we have a history. This is not super shocking, but what is just the fascination about how John James sort of ran as this, in his own words, 2,000% of Donald Trump's agenda. And also, how will Donald Trump square away if he's calling as some kind of, he doesn't like the results from Michigan, but if Michigan does go for Biden, but then John James for Senate, you know, there's some intriguing outcomes there that we're all going to be keeping an eye on over the next day.
Stephen, we have about a minute. What do you make of the split?
Well, so, I mean, Gary Peters is facing re-election for the first time. That's always tougher for someone in the U.S. Senate. That's the opportunity for someone to pick him off. Gary Peters also ran a campaign that was way more muted and about dry policy issues than John James, who had this very friendly television campaign that I think connected with a lot of voters. I think, I have my own judgments about the two of them. I think Gary Peters is exactly the kind of person you want in the Senate, and John James has yet to prove himself in any way, in any political capacity.
Stephen, I'm so sorry. We got to wrap it up. Stephen Henderson of WDET and Bridge Detroit. You can hear him weekdays at 9 on WDET. And Zoe Clark, Program Director of Michigan Radio. Thank you both so much. Coming up, we'll be joined by two members of the Bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus, Debbie Dingell and Fred Upton. Stay with us on Stateside.